This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. It's now 7:48 in the morning, Tuesday, 4th of August. And we're going to be talking about the shipping industry because over the last few months, we've been getting insights from different sectors on how they're navigating the business, their businesses during COVID-19. So today, it is the shipping industry's turn, and in particular, shipping lines. So this refers to businesses that transport cargo, typically containers aboard ships.
Yeah, so according to the survey by Blue Alpha Capital, the container shipping industry is estimated to lose some $10 billion as a result of the virus. And Malaysian players, obviously, not excepted from this. They're going to feel the effects, especially taking into account the fact that we depend a lot on trade and we make a lot of stuff and we send it abroad and we also import a lot of stuff into the country.
Yeah, we are a major exporting nation. So for an industry perspective on how the shipping industry is being impacted, we speak to Ui Lian Hin, President of the Shipping Association of Malaysia, also known as SAM. Now, help us contextualize the size of the shipping industry and its contribution to the Malaysian economy and global trade, please.
As you can see, in Malaysia, we are actually a very big trading nation. Based on the 2019 UNCTAD statistics, we actually ranked 24th in the world. Our trade volume is equivalent to $443 billion. Therefore, ocean transportation is a very important part of that trade because it is the means of moving cargo between the importer and the exporter. And out of that, the container trade would take up about 24% of the total shipment ocean transportation based on the freight rate tons. But if you look at the value terms, then it's probably more than 50%. So connectivity to the world market is very important. And Malaysia is quite fortunate that because we have two hub ports, that is Port Klang and the Port of Tanjung Pelapas, our importers and exporters are therefore very well connected to the world market. Even at the regional ports like Penang and Pasir Kudang, you know, and even in East Malaysia like Kota Kinabalu, Bintulu, connectivity is also very good. Because market not so big, but ships do call there, container services is frequent there.
How have shipping lines been performing in general and what are the main challenges faced by them, especially in light of the virus?
The shipping lines cost is now different. It now has to invest in the fleet of containers compared to before you only invest in vessel. Now they also have to invest in containers. And these containers, as they're moving inland, they are picking up a lot of landside costs as well. Now, generally speaking, the shipping industry is a very ultra-competitive industry. For the last 5 years, from 2015 to 2019, only 1 year make profit, the rest all lose money. Or even the banks are actually shying away from financing shipping companies because they're going through very turbulent trading conditions. Much of this actually is self-inflicted because we have a race to upsize ships to bigger and mega-sized container vessels. And as a result of which, we have an overcapacity scenario hanging over us in the last 5 years. That has put a lot of pressure on the ocean freight rates, thus leading to a situation where we are operating at a loss. The thing is, we are hoping for 2020 to be the recovery year, but as you know, with the COVID-19, this has also impacted volumes as countries go through a lockdown period, and that causes disruption in supply chain and also a drop demand. So at this point, it's very hard for us to tell you when we will see a recovery. It's very much linked to how the world recovers in terms of coping with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Now, what was the impact like for shipping lines during the MCO when everything was under lockdown? How did you cope?
Well, if you look at the month of April, I think the cargo volume dropped worldwide is about 30%. So that is quite a major impact. And of course, now we are seeing some recovery in the market. The volumes are beginning to recover. What the shipping line did was during those times, we lay up vessels, or we call it blank sailings, in order to try to balance up capacity with demand. like the airlines, which ground the aircraft in a way we ground our ships. So unlike the airline industry, when they lay up, they retire the crew, the plane is grounded, dry. Ours is a little bit different, because even when we are laying up the ships, there's still a cost, because we still have to pay the crew on board. We still have to feed the crew on board. And we still have to generate energy on board, because the ship needs electricity for the ship to continue being laid up as well.
Yeah, Lantin, well, we've got you on the line. Maybe you can get your side of the story, because there's been some strong accusations of profiteering against SAM from other stakeholders. For example, the Malaysian National Shippers Council, the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders. What is the dispute about?
Okay, I think I like to say this, lad. Now, they say we are profiteering. But as I just told you just now, in the last 5 years, we only made profit as an industry-wide only in the year 2017. The rest were all losses, 2015, 2016, 2018, 2019, all losses. So how are we profiteering if we are making losses? The MNSC or FMWF complaint is only on two things. One is on the landside charges. They want us to put landside charges into the ocean freight. But unfortunately, this is the new pricing model. As I mentioned earlier, the container is now part of the ship and is moving inland. So it has a lot of cost that's been picked up. So we are trying to recover that cost. In the past, in the old days, back in the 70s, when containerization hasn't been introduced yet, the shipping lines basically don't have this cost. So now this is the evolution of the pricing model, because it's made known to them already. So I fail to understand why they still make this an issue when the overall shipping cost, if you combine both the land side and the ocean freight, you will see that actually we are charging a fraction of what we used to charge back in the 70s.
Now, so landside charges being one of the contentions, you mentioned there are two. So what are the other issues? What is the other issue about then?
The other issue is the issue of security deficit. Now, security deficit is actually something that the carriers introduced because they had difficulty recovering some of the post-delivery charges. It is equivalent to like you check into a hotel, they swipe your card, but most of us don't bang in the check. But it's a security instrument that we have in case the merchant doesn't want to pay his post-delivery charges, example like detention charges or damage recovery of the container. And this is not a charge, it's a deposit, it's refundable. This is the main issue, because to the forwarder, they do not want to put this deposit because to them, they say it's a cash flow outlay problem. Now, this issue, we also recognize that and we try to help. So the carriers, a lot of them also accepted the non-check deposit scheme offered by the forwarder association. But of course, it's a free market. You have one or two carriers who opted for other forms of security instruments, also endorsed by the Port Klang Authority. This is something that that is difficult to resolve. On one hand, we also have to make sure that we are able to recover those charges. We need some security for those people who return the container damage.
Thank you for your time. That was Ooi Lian Hin, President of Shipping Association of Malaysia. And I was really surprised that they've actually been loss-making except for 1 year in 2017, and that this business is extremely competitive. Maybe explaining why in the last few years there have been the creation of new shipping alliances. But nonetheless, this sector or this business seems to be facing overcapacity. I think everybody rush to build bigger and bigger and bigger ships because globalization, trade was the rigueur, right? Everybody was moving onto that every country was looking at being an exporting nation, including Malaysia.
Correct. I think at the risk of being overgeneralizing about the issue, shipping is very much like aviation, right? You need to plan ahead and you need to get bigger capacity craft on your side, because you cannot upsize when the demand comes in. You have to get it ready, right?
You can't build fast enough.
Correct. So the bigger the tanker, the more you can carry, the more money you make. The problem is you can't read the market too far ahead. There's a risk of doing that. And I think that's why, it's not because Malaysia was producing less or consuming less. It was because they were just overbuilding and they were suffering from overcapacity.
I think it's a global thing, though. It's not
a global thing, So the big I mean, I would presume alliances are actually good for the industry because they get you more efficient, but the big shippers like Evergreen and Maersk, they've had their problems.
Yeah, not such an easy sector to navigate. It's obviously one of those where you have a bit of boom and bust. But we're about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, Breakfast Grill, where Lin Mark will be speaking to Sandy Tan, CEO of soon-to-be-listed Optimax on the ACE market. Now, stay tuned for that happening in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.